Okay. Welcome everyone to the July 21st, 2021 Board of Forestry virtual meeting. We are live streaming this meeting on YouTube. And to make sure our viewers online can follow along with today's meeting, I'll go over some housekeeping tips to keep us on track. Everyone participating or presenting, please silence cell phones. You'll see I just did that. And limit background noises. Remember to use the mute feature when you are not speaking and disable your video when not presenting or part of the discussion. For the record, we ask all presenters, public members, and board members to state their name for those listening online. If you experience any technical issues, don't hesitate to use the chat function on Zoom to connect with our ODF support team in Salem during the meeting. For those joining us online, I'll remind everyone of our general order of operations. After an item is introduced, and I'll invite presenters to begin. For board members, if you have clarifying questions, please use the raise hand function and I'll call on you. Presenters, we will do our best to ask questions one at a time. After a presentation, we will open up the floor for board discussion and additional questions. We will continue to offer real-time testimony under item one, where the public can comment on items on and off the agenda. At the end of the board members' initial comments, we will begin the public comment period. Commenters will have 3 minutes to offer testimony. We have three decision items in front of the board today. Item number two, state forestry recruitment discussion. Item number three, Committee for Family Forest Lands annual report. And item number four, the 2021-2023 wildfire rulemaking overview. Live public comment will also be offered for these items. General order of operation is following the staff presentation. We hear from the public who signed up to provide comment. Board members can ask follow-up questions from the presenters before the board sets forth a motion and discusses. We will use a round table approach for the voting process, which has seemed to work well in our previous meetings. Additionally, members of the public, we ask that if you would like to submit written testimony for this meeting's agenda items and enter it into the record, please send in your comments by August 4th. This will help in the preparation of our board's meeting minutes. Please note that pursuant to ORS 192.660, parentheses 2, parentheses F, and 2, parentheses 2, parentheses H, the board will meet in closed executive session starting at 3:30 p.m. The purpose of this session will be to review and consider information or records that are exempt from disclosure by law and conferring with legal counsel on current litigation litigation likely to be filed. Representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. This session is otherwise closed to the public. We will take a break before the virtual executive session begins and adjourn the public portion of the meeting at that time. Any questions? For awareness, board member Joe Justice will be absent for today's meeting, and this is due to the fact that he works for Hancock, and some of their property is on fire, and so he's highly engaged with that process, as we can all imagine. So I will perform a roll call to confirm a quorum can be met for today's items. Carla Chambers?
Here.
Ben Doomling?
Here.
Chandra Ferrari?
Here.
Joe Justice, as noted, is absent. Brenda McComb?
Here.
And myself, Jim Kelly, here. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda items. Do I have a motion to accept consent items A through H?
I would so move. Second.
Any discussion? In that case, I will call for a vote. So I will do a roll call once again here. Carla Chambers?
Aye.
Van Dumling?
Aye.
Chandra Ferrari?
Aye.
Brenda McComb?
Aye.
And for myself, I vote aye. With consensus by the board, the motion carries. And so we're going to move now to item number one, the board and public comments, as well as comments from the acting state forester. Nancy, would you like to start us off today?
Sure, thank you. Members of the board, the public with us today virtually, and for all the department employees. It's good to be here. It's good to be back in here and to have some of us here in person. And I know that all of us look forward to having this be more public even as we continue to go forward. It's been 42 days since our last board meeting, so not to note that I was counting. I did note that last night. And we have actually a lot of good news to share. In June, I mentioned that we needed the agency to get an improved budget for the 2021-2023 biennium that would provide the space for adjustments in how we organize and add true capacity to address the priorities I talked about. The good news is, you know, that we have that new budget. And Bill Herber today will speak further on that budget in great detail during agenda item 7. The bottom line is the work of the executive team, this Board of Forestry, the governor's office, and the legislature resulted in what is likely the largest investment this agency has ever seen, both in both financially as well as in capacity. This is really, really, really great news. This equates to a 26% overall increase in our budget and an additional 186 positions. So first and foremost, I want to thank the work of all of you and all those that I just mentioned. That was a huge lift to get that across the finish line at the end of June. In June, I also highlighted 5 priorities of focus for the department. Since then, I've added a new one, which you will hear more about today. And I think you'll agree with it, which will be important for me as well as the executive team. As a reminder, the priorities were and still remain these, employee health and well-being. And I will just share with you that the new legislatively adopted budget goes a long, long ways towards mitigating the long-term fatigue in the agency that the agency has experienced. The immediate response, I would say, is just the infusion of a positive morale that these opportunities exist. The actual impact of adding the capacity, I don't think that the agency will really experience and digest probably for a year or more out. It's just going to take time to get folks mobilized and bring people on board. Regaining trust. I continue to focus on important relationships, number one, with all of you, but equally with the governor's office, the state treasurer's office, and the legislature. And I originally pointed this out that really it's around the financial reporting and accountability that I believe we need to be able to demonstrate our financial solvency. And it's along those lines that I have been communicating very specifically in my outreach with the tri-chairs and other specific legislators. That communication has gone very well to date. You're going to hear about, kind of see a little bit different flavor of our financial report today. I felt like it's important for us to highlight some really good progress around systems improvements and other systems that are helping bridge that gap for us. And then we will be shifting to, I've communicated with the tri-chairs, our legislative fiscal office, our chief financial office, the governor's office, to really seek alignment that we will in the future be providing a single financial report that will be consistent with all of those that we're reporting to. Some of the other probably biggest outreach was last week with our legislative briefing that I'm surmising some of you possibly may have listened in. There were a lot of legislators on that call, and we will continue to do that. Continuing to implement the MGO recommendations and completing that work on time. Again, responsibility, oversight, of this remains with me, but I have hired capacity in Cal Mukamoto. Some of you may recognize that name. A long while back, he served as a Board of Forestry member. He's done turnarounds in his professional, personal life, and I really appreciate his willingness to come on. He's met with Bill Herber and I, I think it was last week, and he's already kind of working behind the scenes. We're moving forward with a statement of work on the MGO contract, the dollars that came through the budget, and so we'll be working through that procurement process. Fire season, you know, pretty obvious. It was here in June, and then July came in like a tsunami, unfortunately, without water, only fire. Lots of good successes here that Doug will talk about today. You know, key for us is how we are going about doing our work, which takes the complete and coordinated system, tapping into those within the ranks here, but working very closely with our partnerships and landowners, with the contractors, the Oregon State Fire Marshal, our state and federal counterparts, and some of the Oregon recognized tribes that have been impacted. There's been good success in keeping Oregonians, communities, firefighters safe to date, and to some degree, obviously, the natural resources protected. But that's not to say there hasn't been significant loss, costs, and damage already, and Doug will speak to that more in detail later this morning. Another priority was to right the ship while keeping up with core business and specific strategic initiatives that the board has been focused on. The climate change carbon plan has gone through many formal review feedback processes in recent weeks. The next draft of that will be available in mid-August, and then the September meeting will entail a facilitated discussion of that draft plan amongst the board, our agency leadership, and public testimony. The State Forest Habitat Conservation Plan environmental impact statement work is with NOAA Fisheries as the lead agency right now. And so otherwise, the division is focused on the work furthering the draft of forest management plan. That sounds probably like it was enough, but we got even a bigger opportunity with the passage of Senate Bill 762 and our new legislatively adopted budget. So this is the new priority since we last met. We are swiftly adding capacity to assure full development, adoption, and implementation of critical rulemaking and program delivery related to Senate Bill 762 and the entire agency budget. I would note Senator Golden, a real champion and leader around Senate Bill 762, visited with Doug Graff, myself, and Tim Holschbeck here also, I think, in the room today for about an hour. I take that phone call as a really important one, that he's owning his leadership and holding agencies accountable and engaging and really there to support us and being successful. And I was really proud to be able to report out all the great things that are already going on related to that implementation. Specifically, I want to say thank you for myself, but also from the executive team, the commitment that really all of you have made already with your reaching out and volunteering further to be engaged in the upcoming rulemaking processes. So operationalizing this investment is a huge undertaking, which will require significant leadership across the agency. Our full executive team met for 2 days in July to frame up how we can ensure we meet the legislature's expectations, deadlines, and make use of all the resources as soon as possible. I also want to note the first part of this meeting was really focused around a robust discussion of the department's finances to affirm a shared understanding of our responsibility and accountability, along with reviewing a number of the financial reports, the various metrics, and really focusing in on the priority of improving and delivering on accurate statewide accounting, outstanding assets, liabilities to improve our financial reporting as well as our projections. After literally trying to digest as much as we understood about what we received, and I laugh because you know, we all got the big budget bills and all of that, but there's a lot of details that come in through the system. And because for all agencies, the budgets were so significant, it took a little bit to get caught up. So we really literally went around the room and just reported out on everybody's take on what we got. And really the much of the rest of the meeting was focused on how are we going to make sure that we get the resources we need. And when I say that, it's about in the immediate right now term, as well as in the long term, to complete all the work while we're also dealing with what is shaping up to be a very difficult, challenging, and complex fire season. We're already bringing on what I term as surge capacity, that immediate now. We're doing this through graciously through other agencies loaning us individuals, our retiree pool, and also from the private sector to help with fire and the legislative implementation needs. A vast majority of all the positions we received will go through a normal open competitive process. We have a small executive team work group. We actually came out of the meeting where we met with a top tier list of positions to lead with in terms of hitting the ground running to get those filled. Our HR director has been doing just a phenomenal job. We've got a couple new recruiters helping us out. I think we might have, that's just a huge gift. So the small work group will prioritize the hiring of all the department vacancies, both the newly authorized as well as we had 3 weeks ago about 40 plus vacancies just at the core base level of our existing budget. All of this to ensure critical core business work continues, while also setting the department up for success in the legislative implementation efforts. It's been a fast-paced, highly productive 42 days since the last meeting for the department here. Again, I'd like to thank all of you for your support. I'd like to thank the executive team, our leadership team, and really to every single employee that is dedicated and committed to serving during this time. So thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. I think I'll speak for the board here that we so much appreciate your leadership and you being here and doing this. We're all really impressed. I would like to talk a little bit about our next year as a board here. We are often in the role of defining new strategic initiatives for ourselves and for the department. And we just got handed a lot of strategic initiatives from the legislature, and which is wonderful. It's great. But I think we have to all be very mindful that the focus over the next year has just got to be on competency, that the hiring happens, that the organization's finances, financial structure and all of that continues to improve, and that we can be credible with the legislature and the governor's office as a department financially and in every other way, and seen as a competent organization. And so I think we as a board really, need to be as supportive as possible. I always like that something shiny and new. And so it's a little bit hard for me to say, but I think we have to probably hold back for a while on introducing new, fun, shiny, interesting things that could also at the same time burden the department and the executive team. At the same time, we have specific work that we've got in front of us that on the policy side with the CCCP, and then we will be embarking on a redo of the forestry program for Oregon. So I fully expect that we'll be very engaged there. And on the recruitment, What really happens here before long is it really ends up in our lap primarily, and not John over there will be really at a point in a 2 months from now where it's really pretty much handed off to us. And I think we will continue to have to be mindful of that process. We need to get through it. We also need to minimize the strain on the executive team and really own that ourselves. So enough said on that. I would like, we were given by Joe Justice some comments that he wanted to share, and I am going to read Joe's comments here. I want to apologize for not being in attendance at the board meeting today, but I know my fellow board members will continue our important work. As most of you probably know, the lands that I've had the privilege to manage for the last 21 years is being impacted by the Elbow Creek fire. Foresters like me know fires like this can happen, but we always hope they never will. In board meetings, we will often hear Doug Graff talk about Oregon's unique, complete, and coordinated system for fighting fires in Oregon. As a landowner representative on this fire, I am experiencing this system firsthand. I wish every board member could see how ODF coordinates with multiple landowners, firefighting personnel, and assets to attack fires. Our board should be proud of how ODF coordinates this work safely and effectively. You may also hear about the firefighting militia. I can tell you the militia is here and working in Northeast Oregon. The public-private firefighting culture of ODF is something I've always respected and admired. Simply, this is a system that works. I want to personally thank all of the Northeast Oregon district personnel that did initial and extended attack on this fire, working long hours fighting a difficult fire. They have done this all while several of the district's more seasoned leaders are on other fires around the state. The bench is deep. However, I can see how stretched our ODF personnel are. I'd also like to thank ODF's Team 3, who has taken over. Link Smith's team is doing everything in their power to control this fire. Joe Justice. Do we have any other board member comments at this point? Ben Doomling.
I just, following on Joe's comment, I just wanted to talk about fire for just a moment. It's a really scary time out there. And I just wanted to acknowledge that while we're sitting here in this boardroom, there are thousands and thousands of people, like Joe mentioned, out there fighting fires right now in Oregon. And it's very scary. And there's a lot going on, and I just wanted to acknowledge the depth of what's going on, and a huge thank you to the department folks, as well as everybody else in that complete and coordinated system who are out there working extra hard right now. And just wanted to acknowledge that.
Carla Chambers.
I would like to add to that, Ben, and just, you know, with just sincere appreciation to our firefighters and, you know, just how dangerous the times we're in. Those of us that have spent our career in natural resources, and just as Joe expressed, just what an unprecedented time, the damage that we are seeing to our natural resources, and just such appreciation to the firefighters. I also want to add to Nancy's comments in the last 42 days, the progress we have made on the financials. We know our cash position this morning. I really want to highlight one number that we haven't seen since prior to 2013. Our accounts receivable for this department of left to invoice has averaged somewhere between $80 million and $130 million since 2013. We all put a full court press on getting those receivables in. And as of, you know, today, we have $18 million is our left to invoice as we sit here this morning. We haven't seen that number since prior to 2013, which in this fire season, where those costs are going to be unprecedented and high, I can't thank Nancy and Bill and our accounting team enough We also have a full court press on understanding our accounts payable and outside obligations. We still have three districts we really need to hear from on what those obligations are. But any one day and time, knowing our cash position, what's coming in, what our obligations are, I think is really essential, what our large fire and net fire costs are. So we just stay on top of payroll and meeting the obligations of this organization. So I just really want to call out a huge thank you, Nancy, for your leadership the last 42 days. We know where we're at on the big picture, and we're going to keep gaining altitude. That doesn't mean our systems are well-greased for continuing to tell us where we're at, but that focus and intensity, we will get there. Thank you.
Brenda McComb.
Thank you, Chair Kelly. 2 points. First, Nancy, kudos for bringing Cal Mukamoto in to help you in the agency. I've known Cal for decades. He is fantastic. So good for you. Thank you for doing that. Secondly, to Ben's point regarding the fires and Joe's point regarding the fires and many of the other episodes that we're seeing around the world right now in terms of droughts, floods, and other events, it just accentuates our need, our urgent need to address climate change by reducing greenhouse gas emissions, sequestering carbon and storing carbon, and that should be, in my opinion, the top priority for many of us.
Any other comments? And
hey, thanks. So I would just like to acknowledge Nancy's comments again, too, especially around the budget. It really is unprecedented times for our natural resource agencies, not only the Department of Forestry, but all of our other natural resource agencies as well. And it really is going to be a big opportunity, I think, to help make our landscapes more resilient, our biodiversity more resilient, our water resources more resilient. And hopefully our agencies will all be able to coordinate effectively in planning for that sort of work. And so I'm really excited to see that happen. I'm really excited it was a priority of the legislature this session. And in particular, I also would like to thank ODF staff and our firefighting resources out there as well. Clearly, it's a really difficult time, and most of us have the luxury of just watching it from the news. So we really appreciate that you're all doing that work. And on a less important note, I did forget my board binder today. Somebody in my household has been nice enough to decide to bring it down to me. So I will be jumping out of the room for a second to go pick it up in the parking lot. So sorry about that. And just want to let you know when I get up unexpectedly. Thank you.
Okay, great. I also want to talk a little bit about the roles that the board members are taking, given our current circumstances. You know, there are many moving parts in play with the recent outcomes from the legislature. And part of this is the rulemaking effort we will hear more about under item number 4. The board is a partner with the department to fulfill this work and support where we can. As part of this, the board will serve as liaisons for 3 rulemaking advisory committees. So as we move forward, I want to make clear which role each person will have in addition to their current membership on the board. Board member Doomling will be on the wildland urban interface. Board member Chambers will be on the wildfire risk mapping while serving on the ODF audit committee as well. Board member Ferrari will be replacing board member Justice as the board liaison for the Environmental Quality Commission. Congratulations. Board member Justice will be transitioning from his EQC liaison role to join the Wildland Urban Interface Rulemaking Committee. And board member McComb will continue to serve on the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board and will participate in Certified Bird Manager Program. And as chair, I plan to engage on both the WUI and wildfire risk mapping rules advisory committees while continuing our efforts in recruiting the next state forester. And I just would make one comment about all of that. Everybody has been so cooperative and so willing to take on this extra work. I thank you all for that level of willingness. I haven't heard any no's. So thank you. Board Member Ferrari, when I talked to her about being the liaison for the EQC, it was on a Friday, and she said, "Boy, this is really going to make my weekend." And I thought, "Boy, what kind of people are we that this makes your weekend?" Sorry. Oh, it's great. So as we move into these additional roles, please consider committing time to what you can and communicate with me if conflicts arise. Those participating in the rulemaking advisory committees are considered ex officio members, which is an obligatory role given by virtue of the position we serve in as members of the Board of Forestry. It will be up to the rulemaking advisory committee to include in their charter the expectation for these roles, as routinely these roles have no voting rights and do not count towards a quorum. But in the spirit of transparency, I encourage these work groups to be accessible to the public. So this does not mean that you can't, you can't speak up. I would remind all of you in those, as in any public situation, that when you do speak up, because you are on the board, and always remind people and be clear that you're speaking up for yourself and not speaking on behalf of the board. Any other board member comments before we moved to the public comment section here? Oh, great. Okay. All right. Do we have anyone signed up to provide testimony today? Hillary?
Yes, we have two folks joining us today. And if you'd like, I can proceed. So with the two folks in the queue, just thank you very much for joining us for the general public comment for item one. We want to ensure just to stay on track, so I'll list the names in the set order and call on each of you to begin your testimony. You will be unmuted for your comment portion and muted upon conclusion. When you begin, a timer will be displayed for a duration of 3 minutes. And when you see the red, when you see that last go down to 1 second, we'll ask that you conclude your final comment. So. Let's get started. So the order today will begin with Laura Wilkinson, followed by Amanda Astor. So let me just share my screen and the timer. One moment. Ms. Wilkinson, please begin.
Right, thanks, Hillary. Chair Kelly, Acting State Forester Hirsch, and board members, for the record, my name is Laura Wilkinson. I'm the State Forest Policy Director for Hampton Lumber. It's summertime in Oregon, so unfortunately that means the most pressing topic of the day is wildfire.
Need more volume.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me better?
If you could be just a bit louder, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, sorry. It's the first time I think I've ever been told to speak up. as I was saying, it's summertime in Oregon. So unfortunately, that means the most pressing topic of the day is wildfire. So I want to first take a moment to recognize the immense fires that are burning across Oregon, especially the Bootleg Fire. That's devastating communities, livelihoods, and our natural resources. Rightfully so, folks from all over Oregon have shown up to help assist in firefighting and help keep people safe. These are precious resources between personnel and firefighting equipment. And once those resources are spread thin, we are putting ourselves in an even more dangerous predicament. Less intense, but a little closer to Hampton's operations in the North Coast is the Game Hawk Creek Fire, located within the Forest Grove District of the Tillamook State Forest. Thankfully, this fire has been able to be contained to a relatively modest size. This really highlights the importance of that need for initial response and having adequate resources to control and ensure containments of wildfires. As State Forester Hirsch and Joe Justice and others have mentioned in their comments, this is also a great example of the success of Oregon's complete and coordinated system, ODF's coordination with other agencies, rural fire districts, the private sector, which includes forest landowners and contractors working in the woods. However, this isn't the first fire we've seen on the west side or in the Coast Range. The most obvious example, but sometimes forgotten, is the Tillamook burn. So just a quick reminder, from 1933 to 1951, what now consists of the majority of the Tillamook State Forest burned consecutively every 6 years. If you visit that forest now, though, it's really hard to imagine that sequence of fire that once ravaged the landscape. Thanks to salvage logging, restoration, replanting, Oregonians really made it into that vibrant working forest that it is today. More recently was the Echo Mountain fire near Otis and the power line fire near Henry Hagg Lake during the 2020 Labor Day fires. Those were both on the west side and in the Coast Range. As we know, those fires burned more than 1 million acres across Oregon. Just like to quickly note, during yesterday's press conference, Governor Brown talked about the need to increase harvest levels and thinning and prescribed burns to address wildfires. She also noted that this work will create jobs in the timber-dependent rural communities, products for mills, and create healthier landscapes that help mitigate fires. So this really all goes to show the need for that active management year-round to address fuel loads, especially on our public lands, and the need to offer sustainable timber harvest to keep communities safe, healthy, and thriving. So I'd like to just extend our thanks to ODF for your work this fire season and to all of those assisting on the front lines. Thank you.
Next up, Amanda Astor.
All right. Good morning, Chair Kelly, Acting State Forester Hirsch, and members of the board. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss the need to ensure a robust and vibrant contracting community is maintained, if not enhanced. My name is Amanda Astor. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm the Forest Policy Manager at Associated Oregon Loggers. Forest contractors are being tapped by the complete and coordinated system to help stop the blazes across the state. State departments like ODF and OSFM, as well as their federal partners, rely heavily on AOL's members during fire season. But the only way these fire assets can remain available during fire season is to ensure they have work all year long. There is nothing more disheartening than being called a hero during fire season and then slandered in the media or overregulated outside of fire emergencies. Regardless of your opinion about whether or not logging makes a difference in fire behavior, having more people across the landscape to be the state's eyes and ears during fire season, the reduced fuels and the maintained access that loggers provide is critical to allow Oregonians time and opportunity to escape a blaze and for firefighters to get to the fire for size up and initial attack. As this body continues to make policy decisions for the department and all of the forest sector, please remember these truths while in and out of fire season. You all have the unique opportunity to help ensure this vital piece of the supply chain remains vibrant because you help set priorities for ODF. One thing you can help with is workforce development and access. We are struggling to maintain our workforce, and this board can direct ODF to do more for forest contract workforce development by advising the department to prioritize economic development and use rhetoric that celebrates the contributions of the forest sector and loggers as the heroes they are during and outside of fire season. AOL can also help. We're bringing on a brand new workforce development manager next week, and we will be actively seeking out opportunities to collaborate with the department and the board to ensure there's an adequate workforce for the contracted sector. AOL believes we can do far more with the South Fork Forest Camp, community colleges, CTE programs, and others. ODF can also do a far better job at helping all Oregonians understand the great work of forest management as a complete and coordinated system that doesn't end after fires are out. The partnerships and complex supply chains that allow wildlife habitat to be created and protected, recreational experiences to be maintained, and carbon storing wood products to continually be supplied to markets does not happen by chance, and AOL's members are proud to be a part of the team. Please ensure these hardworking Oregonians can continue to do this hard work by recognizing their contributions during and outside of fire season in all of your decisions. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Ms. Hester and Wilkinson, you are welcome to stay in the Zoom meeting. However, we ask that you just remain muted and disengage your video for the remainder of the item unless called upon. So thank you very much. Chair Kelly and members of the board, this concludes our public testimony portion.
Thank you.